Come on in. Grab your cup and be a part of the conversation. Coffee Talk on 1580 103.3 WPKY worldwide at WPKYonline.com.
We have got a Friday edition of Coffee Talk. And I love the two guys that are in here today. Of course, this one, I like using his voice here lately. This is my football buddy, or half of them. Your wife, Carol. Good morning, Carol. We love you to death, sweetheart. I don't want to leave you out this morning. But Mr. Donnie Adams, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Adams Construction doing good?
It's doing awesome. Way far behind. Looking for help like we always do. And the COVID thing's kind of slowing us down on hiring and not hiring. And then when we do hire someone and they miss and they say they've got symptoms of COVID, now we've got to wait the 14 days like everybody else before we know what's going on and who we can be around, who we can't be around. And it's made it a little more complicated, a little bit more stress on your liability insurance, wondering what's going to happen. Congress is trying to pass some laws to, like myself, if we come into your home and one of my guys have got COVID and they spread it to you, until Congress gets all the laws and everything straight about who's liable for passing that on, then we all got to step lightly and just follow procedures. And
so things take a little longer than what they did, but...
Well, at the same time, we're waiting on a lot of materials. Everybody's blaming everything on COVID, even all the way down to your grocery store. You may not deal with lumber like I do, but when you go in Walmart or Food Giant and you look on the shelf and you can't find three bean soup or hamburger lasagna, and they say, well, that, you know, the, it's just not here, we're short.
Oh, no, we're going into wintertime. We can't mess with the bean soup.
Right, right. Well, say there, all these things, it's the trickle-down effect. It's finally where the factories were shut down, and the factories can't find people. And then you've got the automotive industry giving you $20 an hour, so they leave the $15 an hour job to go to the $20 an hour job. So now it's just, it's everything's working against each other until all this pans out. It's just a slow time, and do what
so
you can.
Trying to get things organized is different than it used to be. It can be done.
It can be done.
But you've got to be patient and just kind of call before you need it. Don't call when you need it this weekend.
Right.
You need to call and give you plenty ahead time, if nothing else, just to organize. I mean, it's almost like putting on a play anymore. I mean, you've got so many different aspects of it.
Well, you know, I see a lot of people and they're talking, when we come to your house to fix something that could have been prevented. You're already talking about, well, I went Christmas shopping last weekend. This is like in March, April, May, June. They're already Christmas shopping. But no one's buying salt. Why wait until it's supposed to snow to buy your salt? And then you're mad at Falders. You're mad at Joiner Hardware. All these people, because they're at, well, why don't y'all have salt? Well, why did everybody wait until the day before it snowed to get it?
Ah, and then there's this show that we like to do every year. And I told him the other day, I was like, it's time, man. Are you ready to come in? So winter preparedness. And what I love about Mr. Donnie over here is he always comes with something I haven't heard or something I just don't think about. Because, and it is, like buying salt. I don't think about buying salt in June. I don't think about that. But that's something that we need to kind of think about. Of course, now we're right here on the heels. We had, what, 45 was what we got down to the last couple of days. So, I mean, we got a cold snap, and now's the time to do what? What do we need to do?
Well, to start with, those fire alarms. Those batteries need to be checked on those fire alarms. And my company is fixing to start maybe next week. We're going to run a little promotion for a month to share and comment and all that good stuff, get the name out, but we're going to give away two fire smoke detectors. That's one of the biggest things I try to push every year about this time of the year. Those smoke detectors need to be took care of. Your chimneys need to be swept. Clean those gas logs. You know how you always fire up the gas logs and first thing it stinks up the whole house, and then you may even get a little fire from it because you've got dust and lint. Maybe kids have threw a piece of paper back there. All that needs to be cleaned out now. So that when you do need it, all you got to do is hit the button and light it.
It's my dad, of course, gas logs. He and I have talked about this before. Like, don't just go out and buy just used gas logs without thinking about that kind of stuff. Because that needs to be inspected too, right?
Yes, and if it's not regulated, it's got a pinhole in the supply line. There's all kinds of things. That is not one place that I would try to cut money. I would go to a reputable dealer and buy my gas logs. And, I mean, that's something you're talking about going to sleep at night. If the flames don't get you, the fumes can. I mean, there's a lot of different things with gas logs that's just, it's got to be right. You know, so that's not where, I mean, you're talking about a couple of $100 bucks and it's your family safety, not just your safety, but your family safety of having something installed and installed right in a great working order product.
Well, Brent Francis is not the person you want to call, you know, and say, oh my goodness, I wish I'd have checked, you know, right. Because if Brent Francis and our fire department show up, it's too late to check it.
Absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, he's going to show up, they're going to do a wonderful job, but you wish you wouldn't had to.
Right.
And that prevention a lot of times can make the difference. I didn't realize until my dad got them that they cause soot. I mean, that's something, and that soot builds up before
right.
you know it.
Right.
And isn't that's highly flammable.
It's highly flammable. That's the reason why right now, if you're going to get your chimney swept, you need to be getting on somebody's list now so that you're not, when you get ready to put a fire in there, trying to figure out who to call then. I don't have to worry about that myself. I've got a HVAC system, so I don't have a wood-burning stove. But there's several different ones in the area, or you can Google it, or however you want to get the phone number. But get those chimneys swept. It may not even be soot. It could be bird's nest. It could be a number of different things that's stuck in that top of that chimney, and you start that fire, and it falls down.
You open that flue up. For right. the first time.
Right. So, that you know, that's it. It's your life and your kid's life.
Well, and even propane. I mean, that has a layer of stuff that it leaves inside
right,
there.
Right. The ventless logs, if you ever have to paint a room that's had ventless logs in it, it looks like somebody smoked in it for about 20 years. It's got that yellowish cringe to it. That's the fumes that comes off of a ventless logs.
So whether or not, you know, I guess you get used to that smell, you know, kind of,
right.
and you just don't smell it. Well, and that's one of the reasons why I love for Donnie to come in, because it's not that, you know, he's not going around peddling fire. He doesn't sell the fireplaces or whatever. That's not why you're saying that. And that's why I love it when he comes in, because we talk about anything from gutters to propane,
right.
you know, and because those are the things that we need. I think Dad takes the can of air
right.
and blows those out. And that's not very expensive, is it?
No, it's not expensive. And right now, if you think about it, we're going to be back up in the 70s next week. Why wait until it's so cold you can't leave your doors and windows open to try this kind of stuff and stink up your whole house? Right now, you can light it, leave your doors and windows open, let the house air out, and then you don't have those smells trapped in the house when you go to open all this stuff. It's like opening up an old cedar chest. You know, it's going to stink it on the inside. But as soon as you open the chimney, you open the fireplace, some of the all your radiators, these plug-in water radiators and all that, they've been stored all summer long. So they've got dust, they've got lint, they've got bugs or whatever that's been out in your outbuilding is on these radiators. It's time to hose them off, let them dry. So if you get any of the electrical components wet, they've got time to dry before you plug them in to use them.
I didn't think about that at all.
Right.
Of course, the fire alarms that you're talking about, they've got the carbon monoxide thing on them too.
Yes, yes.
And that goes along with a lot of that, right?
Right. Yeah. You have to, I think you need at least one carbon monoxide detector with a smoke alarm combination. The other rooms can have just smoke detectors, but wherever your gas source is, that carbon monoxide detector needs to be somewhere. It doesn't even have to be hung on the wall. People say they're ugly. Okay, we'll put it on top of a piece of furniture. But put it somewhere to where you can check. You know, we used to do it with radon gas years ago, and they've got some real expensive models that does all the gases. But the carbon monoxide is very important, especially during the winter time.
Well, explain to me, because that's the part that I always get confused with too. Like, what in the world? I'm going to show everybody my dumb blonde. But the do you get carbon monoxide from propane and natural gas?
Yes.
I mean,
you get it from your car. Even you can get it. You start your car and leave it in the garage. Well, you run inside and you're letting it warm up and you don't have the garage
now,
door
Now, I've watched
open.
Enough cop shows that I saw that.
Okay.
I've seen that coming.
Any of those fumes give you carbon monoxide.
Okay.
And so it comes from anything that's burning, any type of fuel that's burning. You can have one of those old oil stoves and you can get carbon monoxide gas from the old oil stove.
Well, see, that I don't think everybody understands that either, because I have heard people say, well, that's just natural gas. But it's not. It can be a number of different things.
Right. It has to be, it needs to be vented. I know a lot of situations you can't vent. A lot of people can't afford the electrical heat because it's so expensive.
Right.
But if I was going to have an unvented heater and I had my choice, I would go with like a baseboard electric heater.
Well, like even the kerosene, that even puts off a vapor.
Yes, it's still a fuel that's being burnt, and so it still puts off. Anything that puts off that little bit of black smoke, That's got the carbon monoxide in it.
And so what this, what does that detector do? It just, is it the fumes? Is that what it's?
Right. It's certain, it detects a certain level of fumes before it gets to the critical stage where it knocks you out and then you pass, you basically pass away from not getting enough oxygen to your system. But it detects it before it gets to that point.
Okay. So what if we have it in the basement? That's still, you know, that's just traveling, right?
Right. Still, but see, it's still blowing it throughout the house through your ductwork system if you've got that heater in the basement. So it needs to be there. Any type of fuel system that you're burning, you need to have it. I mean, it's $50 for one of those. It's got the combination. It's $19 for a smoke detector. So, you know, for $50, peace of mind that you know you're going to be woke up in the middle of the night before the gas fumes get you or before the flames get you. You're able to get your wife, children out. You're able to maybe save a couple of those heirlooms on the way out the door. You know, but the number one thing is, right now is the time, and when it's going to be pretty weather, now is the time you can go over your fire escape plan with your family. Run through it one time. Let the kids see how to get the screen window out. Let them see how to open the window, and let them see how to get out the window.
That's a good idea, because I'm going to tell you what. We had to do that just to open it up to run a television wire, if you want to know the truth. Right. It took us an hour to get that stupid screen out of the window. And I get, you know, in an emergency, I mean, my house burned when I was a kid. So I can tell you, you don't have time to worry about getting the screen out.
Right. Well, see, during the last spring, we talked about painting your wood, painting your windows. Everybody did these home improvements. They was all for COVID, didn't have nothing else to do, so they improved their home. All these windows are painted shut. You've got no escape unless you break out the window. So why not make sure you've got at least one window that will open and close in each room? If you have to, get you a little beeswax or something to rub on the frame of the window so it opens and closes easily. And that way you've got an escape route if you need it without having to take the chance on cutting your wrist trying to break out a window. Like I said, go over it with your family. Let them see. Now, this is what's going to happen if you do this. If your family lives upstairs, get those ladder chains that hook to the side of the window so that when, if you do have an escape, you can raise the window, throw those ladder chains out, and have a way to climb down instead of waiting on a fire department to get there and raise a ladder up to get you out.
And this is all stuff, by the way, you don't have to call a contractor to do.
No, them ladder chains fold up real small, go right underneath the window. Sometimes they're in a bag. It's no different than climbing one on a jungle gym. $50-$75 some places. Sometimes you can find them cheaper online. You just open the window, you throw it out, and you start climbing down. Within 2 minutes, you're out of the house and you're away from that second story window.
Well, while we're outside and we're on a ladder, gutters
and downspouts. See, I've been telling people, clean out them gutters. They're surprised. And I had one lady tell me, well, I cannot stand to touch that stuff. So I asked her, I said, do you got a spatula? She said, yes. I said, well, take that spatula. It's about the same size as the bottom of that gutter. Use it like a little shovel and throw them leaves out of your gutters. You don't have to touch it. But here's the other thing. Take your water hose before you, it's that time of year to drain your water hoses, put them up, put the little caps on your hydrants. Take the end of the water hose and stick it in your downspout, turn the water on. If the water shoots back up to the top, you need to have something like a plumbing snake run down your downspouts because they've gotten clogged over the summer with leaves and sticks and stuff. So if it doesn't flow freely out the bottom, it doesn't matter how clean the top is, the water's coming right back up just like a stopped-up commode.
Oh, that's a good idea. Well, and a lot of even the pressurized stuff, sometimes if it's not as big, that big of a clog, the end of that hose might clear the clog for you.
Right, right. It's not a really hard job to do. Matter of fact, you can probably take the water hose and jam it up and down a little bit and knock whatever leaves is. You could have had a bird nest that was built and it fell down in it. So if that downspout's blocked, the water's got nowhere to go.
Donnie knows a lot about gutters. Well, I mean, it can really, you know, that stuff, it used to drive us crazy because we had a gutter that was leaking all the time. And it's like, no matter what you did, and sometimes one little crack up there, one little hole, a squirrel that has sat in the wrong position can, you know, put a little crack on there and it leaves this green slick yuck on your steps or your deck.
Right.
And then when it gets cold, you bust, you know, I mean, you're falling.
Right. 100%.
So that'll keep us from that, right?
Right. That'll keep you from that. And if you've got a little time and you don't care to spend a little money, there's two or three different companies around that can put a continuous gutter on. That way it's 100% no joints. It goes from corner to corner. You don't have to ever worry about that little leak.
Oh, okay.
And so there's no joints in it. And so the only time it can leak is around a downspout or at a miter cut on a corner.
Well, then if we get that green yuck on our deck, what do we do to get that off? Because you do need to do something with it, right?
There's several good products. A lot of y'all have the algae clear that's left over from your swimming pools. If it'll get rid of the algae out of your swimming pool, it'll get rid of the algae off your sidewalk.
So, I didn't think about that.
So you're going to try to store this all winter, and it's going to bust the jug open. It's going to spill out on the floor of the garage, and you don't know what to do with it. So a lot of people just throw it away. Put it in your pump sprayer, spray your sidewalks and stuff with it, and you can wash it off with a water hose. It'll clear the algae. It's a product you've already got, and you don't have to spend no money. Maybe an hour on Saturday morning with a cup of coffee and a pump sprayer.
Does it work on your vinyl siding, too?
It will clean. If it cleans algae out of your pool, it'll clean algae off anything you've got. It's because it's an algae cleaner.
See what I mean? Every time, you end up coming up with something that I haven't even thought about. Because, so, I mean, you get that green, especially on the outbuildings a lot of times. On the wood, you'll get that yucky green stuff.
Right.
And so that'll take care of it.
Right. And if you don't have a swimming pool and you don't have that product, go to Walmart or Join Your Hardware, Falders, and get some mold and algae remover. You spray it on, wait 5 minutes, and you don't even have to have a pressure washer. You hook it straight to your water hose. It'll mix it in the jug as it's spraying it on the house. You wait 5 minutes, and you turn this little button, and you spray it right back off. Those cost about $9 for enough to do, I think, 2,000 square feet. So for $9, you'll get rid of all that algae.
And as much as we love you, we don't have to call you to do that, right?
No, it's something you can totally do yourself with a cup of coffee in one hand and a water hose in the other.
Hey, if I can do coffee in one hand and do that, yeah, I'm there. That's why the cowbell is acceptable, because I can do that. How about, like, when we go into winter and we have some of the pipe fittings and stuff? You mentioned hoses a minute ago. But I know that we've got, like, the frost-free ones and that sort of thing. I mean, is there anything special that we need to do to kind of help that out?
The frost-free ones are supposed to drain themselves back out. But for $3, they got that little gray cone at Walmart or at Join Your Hardware or at Falders, anywhere here in town that sells that stuff. And it hooks directly onto the knob of the hydrant. You pull it tight, and it's like a igloo cooler around that faucet. It's not going to freeze.
Oh.
The problem what we normally have is around those hydrants, it's not caulked. So what freezes your pipes is air being introduced to the copper or to the plastic is why the pipe freezes, because air is getting in. Well, this little, basically little igloo cooler thing that you put over your faucet hydrant, it stops the airflow from going in there and freezing that faucet.
What if I run out of salt for my sidewalk because I didn't? Is there anything else I can use?
There's a lot of different things we can use. The main thing is to salt it beforehand, but anything that's a chloride.
So we don't wait till it snows. We do it before.
I pre-treat. Does the city pre-treat the roads?
Well, yeah.
Well, why aren't you pre-treating your sidewalks?
Because I don't think about that.
Well, when you're on your way home and you see that the city's pre-treated, it wouldn't hurt to go out there and take a handful or two of salt and spread it around, and then you've got a base layer that's down on your driveway. So as it starts heating up, it's thawing from the bottom side. The sunshine's thawing from the top, you know. And then when you go to shovel, it's not stuck to the concrete.
Is it going to do anything to my sidewalk or anything? Does it eat into that?
It's going to make it look like a sweat stain, like on a hat or a shirt. You got that white sweat stain.
Uh-huh.
That's what your sidewalk's going to look like until it rains on it and gets rid of it.
But it'll go away.
You know, now it can if you've got older concretes, and depending on if a lot of these ice melts that you buy today, they've got a lot of chemicals in them that can pop the top of a concrete or pit it. But you know, it's well worth having it in your storage building. And the de-icer for cars, no one can ever find de-icer. And when you do find it, you leave it in your car. Well, now your doors are froze shut and you can't get to the de-icer. So leave the de-icer out of the car and get a little can of lock de-icer. It looks like a little can of WD-40.
Yeah.
And that way you can spray it where the key goes.
Does it hurt the paint?
I've never had it hurt the paint.
Okay.
But, I mean, I don't know about your paint job. I can't say you don't have a clear coat.
That one. Is it going to hurt that one?
It's not going to hurt the paint on that. No.
Okay.
But it's a lot better for you than taking that
Well, see, I wonder about things like that. So then I don't do it, and then I'm stuck.
Right. And so now you've got an open flame out there trying to unthaw the ice out of the lock. That's got to be worse on your paint than a little bit of de-icer.
Well, no, that's true. That's what I ended up resulting. I mean, because when I'm trying to get in my vehicle, a lot of us are. It's dark. It's cold.
Right.
You know, it's before the sun comes up, unfortunately.
Right.
And that's usually, you know, you don't plan to forget to leave it in there. You just do, and then you're like, oh.
A little keychain light. That's one of the things you need to buy for your – I always tell everybody to get a car kit together.
Uh-huh.
It's got, blanket, gloves, empty pot. I know it's going to sound crazy. You get stuck on the side of the road, you've got no way, no heat, your car's broke down. If you had an empty old bean pot or a coffee can, you can gather some leaves and sticks and limbs and start a little fire in that coffee can and keep your hands and stuff warm outside the car without causing any damage to anything around. Or if there's snow on the ground, you can't get a fire to start while you're waiting on help. You can make a little heater out of that little coffee can by putting leaves and sticks and debris in it and starting a little fire in it.
I never thought about
it. And then when your help arrives, you just simply take some snow or a bottle of water or anything and pour in that can. It's all self-contained. And if the fire goes out, the can is heated up enough to give you a little bit of radiant heat still to keep your hands warm if the fire goes out.
Is the kitty litter thing true? Is that what we need?
Yes.
Or is it something else that we need?
I like it. Kitty litter or, you know, there's sand.
Uh-huh.
You know, any of those types of things that you can buy, like a little bag of playground sand for $3. A lot of times you can find it on clearance this time of year for $1 because no one's going to the playgrounds.
True.
Throw a bag of it. But I would put it in a five-gallon bucket because the bag tends to rip open. Now you've got all the sand in the bed of your trunk of your car or in the back seat of your car. So you put it in a little five-gallon bucket along with the other things, the gloves, glasses, maybe a flare, a flashlight, you know, all these extra things. A lot of people don't think about it, but it seems like when it rains, it pours, so now your cell phone's dead. Well, they've got those portable chargers for about $6. So if you keep one of them in your car and keep it charged, if your phone ever goes dead while you're out, you can plug it to that portable charger, even if your car's not running, and it'll power your phone back up and you got enough phone, power to make an emergency call.
And the weight in the back, that helps too for traction,
right? It does. We used to fill the whole bed of the truck up with snow and we could go anywhere we wanted to. Of course, we had snow tires back then. People don't buy snow tires now. So.
I do. They're right there. Well, it's things like that you don't think about. And that's why I wanted to have you in. I was like, it's time, because those kinds of things we do now when it's 70.
Right.
Well, and next week's middle 80s.
One of the things I see that most of the time that most people's not paying attention to is you clean out your gutters, you clean out your downspouts, you rake in your yard, get all the leaves up and they're out at the road for the street department to come pick up. No one's paying attention to their window wells for their basement. That little metal covering that goes around the basement window,
yeah.
They fill up with debris, leaves, sticks, stuff like that. You get your snow or your rain or your freezing rain, and when that stuff swells just like an ice cube, it busts that basement window out. Now you've got all that cold air and the water going into the basement. We need to make sure they've got plastic covers that you can put over those that actually acts as a greenhouse and helps heat up the basement. But it keeps the debris out of those window wells. So that's something we need to try to invest in, if you had all possible, to keep your window wells clean for your basement windows.
Donnie Adams, would you just come back? Because I know you've got 25 more, and we're out of time, and I wish
HVAC
to goodness.
HVAC filters. Change your filter.
I did not even think of that one.
Yes. It's time to change that, every 2 to 3 months. I got a whole list here. I'll post it on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
Adams Contracting on
I'll
Facebook.
Do the same thing, too.
And we'll
beg him to come back, too.
We can do that.
Because we got other things we want to talk about, too, and that we want to, draw some new attention to.
Yeah, I've got something exciting fixing to take place at the courthouse here pretty soon, and I don't know when it'll be, so I don't want to mention it until I can go do it. But
it's good, though.
There's something coming to the courthouse. I think it's really neat, and it's kind of near and dear to our hearts, but just
we'll
keep looking
a little.
For it.
Yeah. I'm excited. Donnie Adams,
let's
tell me how to get a hold of you.
Let's say it's going to be purple.
That's my favorite color other than blue and gold.
Adams Contracting, 270-625-5940. We've got a Facebook page, Adams Contracting, on Facebook. Or you can go to the Better Business Bureau, where we've been a member since 2006 with an A++ rating.
I love that. Thank you. He always has something that I don't think about, and we always run out of time because there's a million of them.
Yeah, we didn't. We covered 3 off the page.
He's coming back. I'm going to make him do it. Carol, that's what we're doing.
Thanks for joining us this morning for Coffee Talk.
Good morning, Carl. Again.
Our chance to get together and catch up on what's going on in our area.
Thanks for letting me come over, you guys.
Got a show idea or something you'd like to share? Email Tess at WPKYonline@gmail.com.
We'll be down to visit real soon.
For additional information on today's topic and past guests, visit our website at WPKYonline.com.
Y'all come back now.
Welcome home.
We'll be back soon. I promise.
Y'all come back now.
1580, 103.3 WPKY Princeton, an Edge Media Group station.